Wachowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC, live from the Czech Republic, day two of the trip. And, I'll tell you a quick thing from my day today. What's the longest wedding you've ever been to? Longest wedding. I went to a wedding today where I was there 11 and a half hours. 11 and a half hours. I got there around 1 o'clock, and I left there, after 10 o'clock. I mean, it was insanity. And the best part about it is, I was one of the first people to leave. So when we walked out the door, I mean, we were the first couple to bounce. I think people that were there even with little kids, and the kids were still going strong. I'll tell you, Czech people know how to party. It's one heck of a thing. All right, 800-222-5222. sam@samnation.com is the email. I do check it throughout the show. Do look forward to hearing from you. Talk Radio 790 KBC. And again, live from the Czech Republic, and I'm actually in my uncle's living room. That's where I'm at. I'm in Karlovy Vary, beautiful town. I gave you guys a little bit of a description of it yesterday. So I'm in the living room. I've got all my equipment set up, and I'll give you a little peek behind the curtain. So, you know, when I bring all this stuff, I have to set it up. But obviously, I can't set up a full studio. So I do the best I can, but I'm here, and it's classic. I'm basically in between the kitchen and the living room, and this is the mobile Sam Nation studio. This is how dedicated I am to bringing you the news, the actual stuff that's going on, my take on it. You know, rain or shine, doesn't matter where I'm in the world. If I'm not in an airplane and I've got 2 feet on the ground and an internet connection, I'm going to make this thing work. So forgive me if I don't sound my usual great self. Okay. Did you see? This is important because did you see there's some ratings that came out for cable TV? And these are my understanding is these are the kind of the first significant ratings to come out after CNN fake news. CNN decided to, remember, we talked about that guy who made the GIF and CNN attacked him. This is after a couple weeks of Project Veritas, James O'Keefe doing exposés on CNN. So you're probably wondering, how does this affect them? Where does this have any meaningful impact on CNN's, we'll call it, their bottom line? So in the cable rankings that came out today, this is... the short answer is yes. Yes, people are not happy with... well, they're not happy. They're not watching CNN. CNN is number... and I got to pull it up here, so I've got it nice and big. I can see it. CNN is... number 13. They are 2 spots behind Nick at Night. Nick at Night is beating fake news CNN. And it's because people are really, the numbers don't lie. They've got, Investigation Discovery beat them. TLC beat them. This Discovery Channel beat them. The History Channel, held the History Channel, number 6. And Fox News, number 1. MSNBC's number 2. And that's because, I'll explain that. It's easy. Fox News has a great product. People have watched it. It's always been number 1. And MSNBC's done, I mean, they've been able to challenge Trump without going down this almost absurd, crazy, you know, place where CNN is going. So I think, you know, this matters because these ratings determine dollar allocation. This entire game, the whole media game, is about eyeballs and ears, okay? In TV, you need eyeballs. And if people aren't tuning into your station, I don't care how, I don't care how progressive your employer is. I don't care how anti-Trump your board of directors is. It at the end of the day, the dollars and cents of what you're doing have to add up. And so what's going to happen here is, there are going to be changes. This is, if this persists, it is the first clear sign that CNN's going to, the heads are going to roll. Because they're not able to sell advertising. This is about dollars. If you don't have the ratings, what happens to the cost of the advertising, the price of the advertising? Yeah, it drops. You cannot sell the advertising for the same amount of money. And so it does not matter how pleasing your programming is to the people in charge. At the end of the day, the corporation has to make money. There's talk that AT&T is interested in buying Time Warner, CNN, and I think the thing there would be AT&T, if they buy it, they'll want to make money. In fact, they'll want to make more money. Usually when you buy a company, mergers, acquisitions, these things happen because the big company swallowing up the smaller one, looks at that asset and says, we can make more out of that than we see right now. And the way they'll make more out of it, very clearly, is to make some changes. You're seeing it at the New York Times. All the fake news media, all these sites, newspapers, even the most trusted name in news, CNN, you are seeing that the obsession with going after Trump at all costs. We call it here Trump derangement syndrome, which is where normally, people who would think critically and would think, more reasonably, would plot their steps carefully and would look out for their own bottom line. They're so angry. They are so incensed. They see Trump as such a buffoon that needs to be stopped at all costs that they take their usual measured calculations out and replace it with this venomous rage. It is. It's a derangement type syndrome. So the effects of it are happening, and we'll follow it here. I'll keep you posted on how this all is going down. Big news today, not very far from where I am, because I'm in the western part of the Czech Republic. I'm about 20 minutes from the German border, so very close to Germany. And right now, as we speak, the G20 summit is underway in Germany, in Hamburg. And the big news there today is that Putin and Trump meet face to face. And that happened technically speaking, because it's already morning here. It happened yesterday about 4 p.m. local time. And in that meeting, they were scheduled, I don't know if you heard this, they were scheduled to meet for something like 30 minutes. That's what was on the calendar. So they go in their meeting, and the aide to the Russian president, this lady, she's in charge of Putin's schedule. That's her role. And the reporters, they are hovering. You got it. This is the meeting of the entire event. This, if you're a reporter covering the G20 summit right now, you've got to cover the Putin-Trump meeting. I mean, that's the thing you got to cover. So they're all, they're like panting outside. They're, when are they ready? When are they out? And she keeps coming out and saying, no, you've got to wait a minute. They're not ready. And 2 hours and 15 minutes later, so this went into some serious overtime, they finally emerge and apparently had a really productive meeting. A couple of things, real consequential things came of it. The big deal here is the Syria ceasefire. And you'll remember, they agreed. Sunday, Damascus time, 12 noon, ceasefire in Syria. This war has been raging for years. Obama tried to do this. He drew a red line and tried to get Putin on board to end hostilities there. It didn't work. But they got Jordan and Israel to sign on too. And this is huge. And by the way, this is what the Democrats have been clamoring for. I mean, they've wanted peace for the entire Obama term, and Obama did, you know, make some lame efforts towards this end. But now that it's happening under Trump's watch, you'll see tomorrow, as this news begins to get out there, I'm just waiting for the spin. I'm waiting for the way that they spin this, because they do not, this is a huge positive for Trump. I mean, he's supposed to be the guy who doesn't understand world politics. He doesn't understand. He's not a politician. He's going to get steamrolled by Putin. And he walks into the meeting, and he gets something that he wants. Now, they also agreed on a joint terrorism task force. They made came to some agreements on Ukraine. And Tillerson, Rex Tillerson, Secretary of State, pressed Russia apparently on non-interference in elections and sort of a mutual non-interference pact. We are not going to hack your candidates' emails if you agree not to hack ours. I think that's mostly nonsense. They're going to continue to spy on us. We're going to continue to spy on them. And that is the end of the story. It's the whole idea and notion that this is something novel of one country interfering in the other's elections by, I don't know. I mean, we do this all the time. So I think that part of it was more or less done for show. But a ceasefire, and this is, you know, this is an important takeaway here. A ceasefire agreement in a war, in a conflict that has been going on for years, where Russia has an interest that has been, at least historically, at the opposite end of their interest is at the opposite end of ours, right? They support Assad, Bashar Assad, who is the dictator of Syria, and he's the guy who's having, you know, he's the guy who's being opposed by fighters that are supported largely by ISIS. I'm oversimplifying this, but long story short, there's Bashar al-Assad, supported by Russia, and then there's been the freedom fighters who we have supported, but really the problem is that these guys are allied also with ISIS. So, you know, who do we really want to help in this conflict? It's choosing between two bad sides. But Putin's been adamant about helping his buddy Assad, and that's where the entire conflict and disagreement has been between us and Russia. That's the crux of it. So my takeaway from this is, I think that my theory is correct, and we'll see how this plays out in the coming weeks. But I don't care. You can't, in 2 hours and 15 minutes, you don't solve this. Like this solution doesn't come about just because they meet for 2 hours. This means to me, the takeaway here is that Putin and Trump have been back channeling. I mean, there have been conversations going on, and I'm not necessarily meaning between the two of them, but there has been have to have been extensive conversations between, let's say, Tillerson and Lavrov in Moscow and their deputies. There must have been a tremendous amount of work that has gone into this beforehand, and certainly some quid pro quo to get it. To happen. Of course, what happened when Trump and Putin come out and discuss, among others, a serious ceasefire, Ukraine, joint terrorism, all these good things? What is the first thing that our idiotic reporters scream out at them? I heard it. It was the very first thing. Election meddling. Did you talk about election meddling? I mean, got to ask you. You want to choose between, winning the argument, the now, you know, very past tense situation of what happened in 2016. Do you want to win that argument with Putin? Or do you want to avert war where children will die? This is a real liberal's dilemma. So I think if you're a liberal and you don't like Trump, you don't want kids to die. I'm going to assume that. But I almost think there's a little bit of you that would rather nail Trump, that rather would nail Trump on this election meddling and let the war ravage on and let Trump have egg on his face. Admit it. Think about it. Because you hear that good things are happening and you're going, ooh, see, that's collusion. And I'm going to tell you, yeah, they're colluding. Absolutely. 100%. And you know what? In the real world, it's called diplomacy. All right. De Blasio, he, the mayor of New York, he doesn't have any foreign policy powers, does he? As mayor of a city? Well, nobody told him because he's at the G20. But wait till you hear why he's there. It's unbelievable. You can't make this stuff up. Bill de Blasio, big time, commie pinko mayor of New York City. Don't go anywhere. You'll want to hear this. Back after this.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. I'm back live from the Czech Republic. I'm in the western part of the country, coming to you from a town called Karlovy Vary. Very beautiful place, and I'm actually, I guess, relatively speaking, in relations to how big this world is, I'm not too far away from the G20 summit that is happening, going on in Hamburg, Germany. And now, you know how these, whenever they have these G20 summits, what happens? You know, there's always protesters, right? So you get. The first thing that happens whenever you have any type of event like this is the barricades go up. They put up these enormous barricades. And I remember, for example, when I went to the Cleveland Republican Convention last summer, it was like that too. You had enormous barricades. They're designed to prevent protesters from toppling, toppling them and getting into the perimeter and wreaking havoc. The reality was that when it came to came to Cleveland when I was there. Protesters were basically pretty lame, and I told you about it. They were pretty lame. They didn't do much, and mostly kept to themselves. Not the case in these giant G20 summits. Top 20 industrialized countries get together, and their presidents all come to one place, and it attracts a special breed of protester. You have seen the pictures. These are people, they're like the Antifa crowd. You know, they're dressed in all black. They're people who are, allied with various anarchist movements. And so they're, huge anti-government protests, and they will burn the place down. And that's going on right now in Hamburg, in Germany. I mean, they're the parts of the city, they're torching cars and they're wreaking all sorts of havoc. Police are out there in full riot gear, and they're putting a tamp on it. They've got this one big protest that is literally called Burn in Hell. Okay, it's been organized, and people are coming from all over the world. Well, guess who is participating in this protest? You're just, I don't even know where to start on this. I have no idea. You've got this guy, Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York City, announced today that he's flying in, did it very hush-hush, didn't announce his travel plans ahead of time. He is flying in to the G20 summit to join this anarchist, one of these anarchist protests. Yeah, and he's doing it because Trump is there. This is insane. This is not your average, Poussey hat protest, okay? These are not your average meow meows out there with their pink knitted caps who are, throwing around signs and chanting. I mean, some of these people are violent. They literally come to these events to beat people up. Meanwhile, New York City, I mean, this is always the case. Libs want to, what do they want to do? And it's my opinion. They talk a lot. They complain a lot. They always want to find a cause to fight. But they're never fixing the problems back home. New York City subway. I mean, we just had a huge derailment, didn't we? Train went off the tracks. maintenance related, right? Deferred maintenance galore, problems up the yin-yang. Police officer, Miyasota's Familia, she was gunned down in the Bronx on Wednesday. And you remember the guy that did it. He basically a cop-hating thug who was so enraged, inspired by the Black Lives Matter movement, that he put a gun to her head and executed her in cold blood in her police car. You know, and meanwhile, with her funeral scheduled, the mayor of New York City, right, the boss of the bosses of New York City, instead of sticking around and being there in a time of crisis, what does he do? He packs his little suitcase. He takes a plane flight to Germany so he can protest Trump. This is so tone deaf. It's unbelievable. And there are, you know, there are other parallels to this, of course. There's more to this. For example, you Bill de Blasio, he's got a crazy wife. I don't know if you know about her. Her name's Shirlane, I think, something other. Do you know where they vacationed? They honeymooned. You know where they had a honeymoon? Just hang in there. I got to tell you about this because this is what speaks volumes. This guy's a total nut, but he's the head of the most important city in America. It's nuts. All right, we got John Wolfe up next with the news. Don't go anywhere.
Talk radio. Talk radio. 790 KABC.
All right, Sam Rojofsky here, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC, and we are live from the Czech Republic. And it's, what is it, a little past 4 in the morning here. So 9 hours ahead. Boy, this is one way to do a radio show. I was explaining earlier, I've got my whole setup here in my uncle's living room. In a town of Karlovy, western part of the Czech Republic. And so forgive, I know I've got a little bit of an echo. He's got this traditional, I'll say kind of Central European stove here. And the whole thing is, it's not your classic stove. It's this giant thing that's made out of tile. And you put wood into one end of it, and the hot air kind of pipes through, and then you've got an oven, and then you know where you can cook or bake, I should say, and then a cooktop, and what you do is, and it's big, it kind of fits, it goes from the kitchen into the living room, and so it's the purpose of these things is to heat the whole house, which I don't need right now because I think it's like 90 degrees outside, even though it's early morning, it's hot. But these stoves are fantastic in the wintertime, trust me, because you actually the way he has it, it's got the table set up against it. So you light it in the morning, and then it's burning and it stays warm all day, heats the whole room, but you can also sit, you know, you can put like a bench up against it. And that's the best feeling. In the wintertime, you know, when you're cold or when you get in, you know, you got wet, let's say it rained or snowed on you, and you walk inside and you just sit up against this thing, these hot tiles, and it feels like heaven, trust me. So I'm looking at it, and I'm wishing I was here in the wintertime. Anyway, maybe this winter. What's going on? I was just talking to you about this, about Bill de Blasio. Now, I know you're thinking, look, we've got our own crazy political situation here in L.A., our politics, our LA politics are tame, are normal compared to what Bill de Blasio is doing in New York. And New York is important. It's America's city. You know, the whole world knows about New York. I mean, we know about LA too, but New York is, you know, New York's New York. And to have the mayor of New York travel deliberately, leave his job, go on a, I think he's taking a personal vacation, it doesn't matter, he's in office. He goes on a trip to the G20 summit that's happening not too far away from here in Hamburg, Germany, to protest Trump and join other sort of anarchist-type protesters that are, you know, as we speak, have been burning cars and wreaking also, you know, all sorts of damage and problems in the downtown area. So, what do you make of it? You know, I was just telling you this. He apparently, And this is something funny about de Blasio's history. You know, he met his wife, who's doing activism. He's working for the Sandinistas, right? They were, Reagan labeled the Sandinistas a terrorist organization. And so as a student, de Blasio worked for the Sandinistas. So he's a radical. He's a radical left-wing guy, and unapologetically so. But then he and his wife, they honeymooned in Cuba at a time when you know, you weren't allowed to do it, right? Zero travel. So he defied a U.S. travel ban to Cuba, went there. The guy is a left-winger. And think about how much of our economy is based in New York, right? If you're wondering, how does this affect me? You might work for a company that has a branch or does a significant amount of business in New York. You don't realize how much of our commerce, you know, just think of Wall Street. And everything, I'm telling you, everything in New York is touched by the mayor's office. I mean, they tax. There's an income tax. There's a corporation tax. There are more fees, regulations, taxes on businesses in New York than any other American city. So when you've got an avowed confiscatory socialist in charge, someone who is so obsessed with Trump and being the anti-Trump that he travels, leaves his job, and travels to go to Europe to protest. I mean, shouldn't this guy be worried about, you know, what is New York? Like, the seventh largest, sixth largest economy in the world. I just don't get it. I do not understand it. Makes zero sense to me. All right, don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. Back after this.
Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski here, live from the Czech Republic, and I was telling you earlier I went to this tremendous wedding. And I say tremendous. I've never been to a wedding that has gone on for 11 hours. I was there over 11 hours. And it was great. Dear friends of ours, their daughter was getting married, and it was a beautiful affair, and it was in this place of great natural beauty, and there's a cliff up there, and the wedding photographer climbs up to the top of this cliff to get the great shot of everybody down below, and I'm looking up at him, and he's on this rock, and it didn't look steady, okay? I thought, this guy's going to fall. And that's when the light bulb goes off. What would happen if this guy fell, right? And it's not just about what happens to him, because it's own stupidity of getting up there and climbing in a dangerous spot. But what if he falls on somebody? Shoot, you know, what if he hurts somebody? What if his camera falls on? Who do you call? It's simple. It's straightforward. You got to remember sweet James Bergner. He's the lawyer that we trust. If anything bad happens to you, you get injured, you get hurt, somebody does something dumb, you know, you need to have the right guy at his number at your fingertips, ready to use, to whip out in the event of emergency. So there it is. Any type of accident, injury, problem, anything that you need, you got to call Sweet James. And even if it's not something exactly that can handle, he will help you find the right person. So 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021 is the number. And also his website, visit that, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Nation back, and we are live from the Czech Republic, as previously mentioned, and there's Trump, meanwhile, is in Europe, right? He's at the G20, and was yesterday and the day before was in Poland. His trip, I'll tell you my impressions right now, and I am keenly aware. I follow this, and I'm looking at the way it's being reported here in Czech television. It's overall fairly hostile to Trump. The fact that they aren't really complaining about too much tells me that Trump is doing great. He is. He had an absolutely fantastic visit in Poland, and now he had a positive meeting with Putin. It seems that they came to some agreements, and we'll see how that plays out. The body language, I'll tell you, I know there's a lot of talk about this. I study body language. I'm looking at the video. Do you remember the body language between Obama and Putin toward the end? I mean, it was Putin had contempt for Obama. Obama had contempt for Putin. And if you think that that's a good way to work with a world leader, then I guess Obama's your guy. I don't see anything bad happening from Trump thawing the ice a little bit with Russia by reaching out to Putin, and he's doing it with other world leaders too. And did you see what happened with Nieto, the president of Mexico? It was classic Trump. I mean, he had a great meeting with him. He said very many nice things. It was good, happy body language. And then somebody asked him about the wall. You think you can still get the wall built and have Mexico pay for it? And he goes, absolutely. And the president of Mexico is sitting right next to him. So Trump is winning people over, but he's not backing down. He's not backing down. And he's saying it, you know, he's saying it to their face. I mean, look, if he's answering the question to the reporter, no doubt he's saying it to Peña Nieto when they're talking behind closed doors. So he is proving, I think we'll see this develop. He's proving to be quite a diplomat. Now, the trip almost got scuttled by a deep state operative. We talk about the deep state a lot, you know, the holdovers from the Obama administration who are doing whatever they can to harm Trump and to perhaps throw some egg on his face. I have a classic example to give you of this, of how almost the trip to Warsaw, to Poland, was sabotaged, almost sabotaged by a deep state operative. All right, stay tuned. Back after this.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky here. Okay, so this is great. So Trump goes to Poland, and it's his first stop. And I explained yesterday, this is a big deal because the Polish government, they're looking for assurances. You know, they're kind of dangling in the wind. They're terrified of Russia. They've seen what Russia has done in the Ukraine, and they recognize they're kind of on the frontier, if you will, of Eastern Europe. So Trump goes there to assure the Polish government. And beforehand, when a president visits a foreign country, you know who kind of briefs him and his advance team on what to do, kind of the situation on the ground? That responsibility falls to the U.S. ambassador, right? That's the president's man on the ground who supposedly, or in theory, has relationships with everybody and can kind of give the president and the secretary of state a lay of the land. Well, in Poland, our ambassador, our U.S. ambassador, is a clown named Paul Jones. Now, Paul Jones was appointed by Obama, and on election night, 2016, he held a huge Hillary Clinton victory party at the Warsaw Hilton, which, of course, you know, ended up being quite a dud, right? But he still hasn't been replaced. Tillerson has not named a new Polish ambassador, so we still have the Obama guy. And, you know, the funniest thing, I guess sources are telling me here that what happened is that Jones tried to set Trump up to fail by whispering basically into his ear, or telling the advance team, that the Polish people still love Lech Walesa. Now, Lech Walesa is the face of the opposition to communism, but since the fall of the regime, he's to some degree or other has fallen out of favor. He's been entrenched in a few scandals, so he's not as popular as he once was. And they wanted Trump to get up there and in his speech, you know, just, you know, Lech Walesa, and make a big deal about it, and then end up with egg on his face. Well, Trump ended up making just one little reference to it, and bam, it was almost like it was set up. It was ready to go. Almost as soon as he was finished talking, Politico writes a scathing piece criticizing Trump about how he doesn't understand anything about Poland. But it was Obama's guy that set him up to it. And Trump wisely, you know, made one mention to it and moved on. This is what the deep state is all about. These are people in our government that you and I are paying with our tax dollars, and they're working against Trump. Now, maybe you like that because you think, you know, do the whole opposition, you know, thing, you know, resist. But really what it ends up doing is harming our foreign policy and creating stupid situations. Really silly stuff, but serious. We got to get these people out of there. All right, have a great weekend. It's Friday. We've made it. And let's do this again Monday. I look forward to talking to you then. Have a great weekend, and thank you for listening. Talk to you soon. People, keep on